With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It is our hump show, middle show of the work week. In fact, now that we're into the final hour, we are past the dead center of the work week, closer to the weekend than we were even just a few hours ago. That's some groundbreaking, earth-shattering revelation right there. What I meant to say is we're closer to the weekend ahead than the one we just left behind. It did not come out that way. It's the Arctic blast. It's the cold going to my brain. Brain freeze. It's a real thing, though I wish there was some ice cream accompanying it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in to our hump show. We are all together in this cold, this deep freeze, except for some of you in California and in Miami. But even in Arizona, there are temps in the 40s. My mom's in Houston, and they're having temps below freezing all over parts of the South, in Texas, in Louisiana, in Mississippi. We've heard from a lot of you who are in northern Florida or in Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, and it's colder than normal. It's a pretty blanket statement, but it applies to most of the United States as well as to Canada. So if you want to send us a screen grab, a photo of a thermometer or on your phone or device, Brian says in New Hampshire, the real feel is 2 degrees. Yeah, it's chilly, and there are hundreds of regions and cities in the country that are experiencing new record lows. So we're all in this together. But you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Let us know where you are and whether or not your dog is dressed in a sweater. No, don't do that. Although I do appreciate Jen's picture of her Yorkie in a sweater. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. Jared says it's extremely cold. Doesn't make any sense. It's 21 degrees in Birmingham, but it feels like it's 15 inside the house. Oh, I mean, it's different, right? Especially when you've got the wind and the drafts, and sometimes you can feel them inside. I have an older house that I live in, and I have towels that are along the track of the sliding glass door out to the deck, as well as, my mom said this to me, it's crazy, it's this big row of stuffed cats. It sounds funny, I know, but it's a big row of stuffed cats that serves as a wind block behind my front door. Because I was running out of the house in a rush on Tuesday night, I didn't have a chance to put a towel in between the front door and my storm door, but I typically do that as well. The older houses generally have wind chills all of their own. So again, on Twitter or Facebook, let's commiserate about the cold. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house a home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Coming up in 15 minutes, the story behind the latest college football playoff rankings with our Jerry Palm of CBS Sports. He will join us live, and I'm going to ask him, how rare is this? How surprising is this? Not one of the top 25 from a week ago stayed in the same spot. Every single team moved. Every single spot in the top 25 is different than it was a week ago, which I think is pretty incredible. When it comes to the College Football Playoff Committee chair, one of the big questions that Rob Mullins had to answer was why Georgia at 4 and Alabama at 5? Why LSU over Ohio State for the top spot? That's another question. So Jerry will answer those questions for us when he joins us in 15 minutes here on CBS Sports Radio. It wasn't college football, but it was college basketball. Some kind of wonderful in Lexington, and not for the home team, not on Tuesday night.
Sestina looks to inbounds. He throws it into Maxey with 5 seconds. Maxey with 4, 3 seconds. Elevates on a three. It's an air ball.
Wow.
And the Aces have gone the road to Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky, and stunned the number one Wildcats 67-64. They shut college basketball on this Tuesday night. What a win for Coach McCarty and his return to Kentucky.
The call, the final call on Purple Aces Radio Network. I love that mascot. It's fun. Evansville had never before beaten a number one ranked team, but that changed on Tuesday night in the Wildcats' home in Rupp Arena, upsetting Kentucky, newly installed at number one, 67-64. Pair of free throws. Oh, see, they're called free throws for a reason. If you make them, it's always a major advantage. So a pair of free throws with just under 7 seconds left, and the Wildcats missed a three at the buzzer to tie. But kind of the cool twist here, maybe the full circle element of this upset, is that the head coach of Evansville is Walter McCarty, who played for the Wildcats in the 90s and helped them win a national championship in 96.
It felt like us against the world. If we could just stick together, anything's possible. Like before the game, we showed them a clip of the pursuit of happiness. When Will Smith says to his son, he's shooting hoops, and he tells him, you know, don't let anybody tell you that you can't succeed, you know, something like that. So we played that for our guys. You know, no one expected us to come here and play the way we did.
Their team deserved to win. If we would have somehow pulled it out, you know, it would have been kind of wouldn't even have been fair because they fought us the whole game. They were the tougher team. They executed. They made shots and threes and free throws. Yeah, my hat's off to them. It's hard to do that in this building.
John Calipari following the Kentucky loss. First ever number one ranked team in the Associated Press poll ever to lose to an unranked opponent. How about that? So Kentucky becomes one of those first dubious history. No number one ranked team in the AP poll has ever lost at home to an unranked non-conference opponent. That's it's the type of game that you have to lose in November. And certainly non-conference is before the first of the year generally. But yeah, you can't be losing this kind of a game in March because then it really damages your chances and your seeding in the NCAA field of 64, 68, oops. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So congratulations to Walter McCarty and to the Evansville Purple Aces. Now, in the pro game, it wasn't that long ago that Trae Young was patrolling the courts in college. So out of Oklahoma, selected number 5 overall in 2018. And boy, he has figured out this pro game. No, pretty amazing performances from him to start the season, though Tuesday night was something special.
Trae dribbles back towards the middle. Now he's going to fire the three. And he makes another one. And another three-pointer by Trae Young. And Denver needs another timeout. Trae dribbling right past Barton. Fires from the corner. Bang! Trae Young just looked at the bench of the Denver Nuggets. Hawks lead by a dozen. And another timeout taken by Denver. And a rebound, Trae Young. Trae Young with 6.5 to go. Hawks with a three-point lead in the ball. Here comes Trae. Straight away three. Bang! Trae Young. And Denver needs another timeout. Tremendous. The Hawks lead by 6. He's got 30, folks.
I love how Steve Holman growls the name Trae Young on the Atlanta Hawks radio network. 42 points, a season high for Trae. 11 assists, 4 rebounds, and a big victory on the road against a winning team in the Denver Nuggets. He shot 62% from beyond the arc. It was that kind of a performance, that one of those nights where it feels like everything is going in. And he's so much fun to watch. But if you look at the roster for the Atlanta Hawks, there's a lot of youth there, obviously. In fact, their starting lineup, if they wanted to, could average something like 21 years old. But the cool thing is you could get in on the ground floor now. You could become an Atlanta Hawks fan because if this group sticks together, well, then they could be trusting the process, of course, and be a force to be reckoned with in the near future. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I feel this strange void early in the NBA season because other than the talk about the injuries to the Golden State Warriors, Eric Paschal now and then with a headline, a big game. He had one recently, the rookie. But the injuries are really the only story for a team that's now 2-9. We're talking about a franchise that went, first of all, is in a brand new arena and went to 5 consecutive NBA finals. And now Damian Lee has broken a bone in his hand. The idea that this team could fall so far so fast, and I know injuries have a major role, but it's stunning to me. And it's so quiet around the Warriors. They've been the biggest story in basketball for the last 5 years. And now here it is, crickets. The talk over the weekend was that Steph Curry would not be playing the rest of this year. He's also recovering from surgery on a broken hand. And I can understand the narrative that the Warriors don't want to bring him back in a season that's, I don't want to say it's lost because you got a lot of guys who are playing for jobs as well, but in a season in which they're not going to challenge for a title, barring some unforeseen miraculous trade or move or healing process, this is not a team that's going to factor into the final equation come the spring. So why bother to bring him back? Except that's a lot of time to miss. And that doesn't seem like Steph Curry. So he was answering questions about the expectations. Will you come back again this season? Will you be on the court before this one is done?
I definitely expect to be ready to play. I don't know when, but at some point in early spring, it's just a matter of the rehab process. I've never obviously broken anything and dealt with a hand injury like this. And so, you know, as you go through all the examinations and all that type of stuff, and when surgery was required for this to even have a chance to heal properly, that's a tough blow. But understanding there's a time frame where we can kind of measure the rehab process and then figure out what the rest of the year looks like. You know, I'm excited about the potential that the rest of the season isn't lost.
He generally has a really positive attitude. He had surgery beginning of November and seemed to be in good spirits despite what was a very large brace on his hand. If you see the photos, the brace was as big as his head. He's expected to be out at least 3 months. I'm glad they were able to repair it. And I'm glad to hear that he would like to come back. Klay Thompson, same thing. Klay said he wants to come back this season as quickly as possible. He is manic when it comes to playing basketball. And this rehab process for the torn ACL has got to be killing him because it's such a slow process. Draymond Green at least was back against the Jazz. But can you imagine? He looks around and it's a bunch of guys that he's barely played with. The impatience that he must have at times, that he must feel at times, and yet, as the leader, as the really the only guy who's the holdover, he's got to be the reason why these players are getting better. It's on his shoulders, really all on his shoulders out there on the court right now. So just an example of how quickly things can change in sports and in life too, of course. We get punched in the gut. We get thrown curveballs all the time and we have to adjust. But in sports, one day you are on top of the world, and the next day, you're irrelevant. That's how quickly it can happen. A-Law Radio is where you can find me on Twitter. The Houston Astros were recently on top of the world in 2017, and now come the accusations that they were using technology to steal signs. That's from one of their former pitchers. So producer Chris put up a poll on Twitter. Did you put it on Facebook as well? All right, he's going to throw it up on Facebook as well. It's a lot going on here. I'm trying not to be naive, but the question is about how prevalent this might be in Major League Baseball. And so we'll let you hear from Astros manager Jeff Luhnow later on this hour. But straight ahead, college football playoff rankings. Why Georgia at 4? And why did not even one team stay in the same spot as it was in the first set of rankings? Jerry Palm will join us. Happy Wednesday morning to you. I hope you're staying warm. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
.140 to play. Edwards-Helaire on first and goal for LSU. Bumps it right. Stiff arm. Puts it down. Squirts away from Trayvon Diggs. Into the end zone. Touchdown. Tigers. They extend the lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Greg Daniels on the Compass Media Network. It was quite the spicy weekend in college football. It seems to happen whenever the rankings come out because we've got some concrete evidence of how the College Football Playoff Committee is thinking and feeling. It sets off a chain reaction in the sport in November. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Pleased to welcome Jerry Palm of CBS Sports, who has this enviable task of predicting every single bowl game going back to the preseason, though I suspect now it becomes a little bit simpler when you have some evidence to work with. And I know that you often are working on the rankings too and trying to figure out how the committee is going to slot these various teams. Did it surprise you, Jerry, that not even one team stayed in the same spot in the top 25 as it had a week ago?
No, because Minnesota was going to move up a bunch. That was going to knock those other teams down. There was a lot of slotting that went into place. I mean, a lot of teams are in the same place relative as they were to other teams, but Minnesota moving up a bunch mattered. There were a couple of losses to teams near the bottom of last week's top 25. Penn State and Alabama were going to move. So, no, I guess just kind of the way things fell, it was going to be hard for everybody to stay where they were.
Why did LSU catapult Ohio State when the Buckeyes didn't lose?
Because they played Maryland, and Maryland is awful. and it hurt their schedule, you know. And they're going to play Rutgers this week, and Rutgers is awfuler. Is that a word? It is now.
It is now.
So Ohio State's schedule is going to come back a little bit these 2 weeks, and LSU beat a team that's still in the top five after that loss. And, you know, it's Ohio State's dominance this season has been historic. They're completely laying waste to everybody they play, good, bad, or indifferent. That's their case for number one. They've beaten good teams. They beat Wisconsin and Cincinnati, who are both in the top 20 by a combined score of 80-7. LSU's got some better wins than Ohio State does. They've had some closer games, but their schedule's better. So I think it's a close decision between the two, and it may not be over yet because Ohio State's got some pretty good teams left on their schedule.
Well, I was going to ask if there was any circumstance. I know they have Penn State, though Penn State has dropped down to number 10. Is there any circumstance under which their schedule hurts them enough that they fall out of the top four?
Ohio State?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
No. Undefeated Ohio State is going to the playoffs.
So then looking at the question and the debate between Georgia and Alabama, which is another one that Rob Mullins, the committee chair, highlighted, how do you feel about Georgia in the top four and Alabama on the outside?
Well, I feel like it doesn't really matter that much. I predicted that Georgia would be four because their schedule is better than Alabama's. Alabama has played now one good team and lost, albeit the number one team, but lost. Dominated the rest of their schedule, but it's a pretty poor schedule. Georgia's played better teams. They have two wins over ranked teams in Notre Dame and Florida. Their loss is kind of ugly. South Carolina at home. So I think you can go either way, but the important thing about those two teams is that Georgia controls whether it makes the playoff. Mm. It wins the rest of its games. It finishes 12-1 as SEC champion. It's going to the playoff. Alabama can win the rest of their games and still be left out.
What are the scenarios, or maybe what is a scenario, in which Alabama could end up back in the top four, similar to what happened last year where they didn't have the SEC championship?
I think that was 2 years ago.
Oh, sorry.
You're right.
Yes,
I think they got in 11-1. It was 2 years ago. The competition wasn't as good that year, and Alabama's schedule was better, and that's something that hurts them this year. They didn't have a good non-conference game, and they usually do. They didn't have a good cross-division game within the league. So, you know, they might go 11-1 this year, and their best win could be 8-4 Auburn or 8-4 Texas A&M. And that's different than Alabama would have had 2 years ago. So Alabama, all they can do is go out and win their games and put up a bunch of points and hope that they look so overwhelmingly good that teams with better records and better schedules don't get in ahead of them. But they're going to need help in the Big 12. Somebody probably has to beat Oklahoma and Baylor. They probably need help in the Pac-12. I'm not sure they would get in ahead of Oregon. Might have a better chance against Utah. They need Ohio State probably to finish 13-0 because they'd be ahead of Minnesota, and then Penn State gets knocked out of the way. 11-1 Ohio State in the same situation as Alabama is a better playoff candidate.
Jerry Palm of CBS Sports with us live to talk college football playoff rankings. Only the second set, but a lot of movement. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. It's funny because with Alabama, they're a staple, right? I think I saw the stat that in 33 weeks of college football playoff rankings, going back now 5+ years, Bama has only been left out 5 times in those 33 weeks. And so you're so used to, not to mention they've been part of the top four all 5 years. So they all blend together. But this could be the scenario in which the Tide are left out. What's a team? You mentioned Oregon and Utah. They're at 6-7. What's a team that you think could crash the party just by virtue of what their schedule looks like or maybe their conference championship?
Well, one team we're not talking about really at all is Baylor. Baylor's 13th undefeated in the Big 12. The schedule is set up nicely for them. I don't know if they're good enough to pull it off, but we'll find out. They get Oklahoma at home. They get Texas at home. If they get to the Big 12 championship game, they get another shot at Oklahoma. That would be a neutral field. You know, if Baylor can pull that off, 13-0 Baylor's going to the playoff.
In what scenario are we talking about, let's say, the Pac-12 and Big 12 getting left out again? What if nothing changes, is this top four the top four that you believe will end up in the playoff if these four teams win out?
Well, that's interesting. If these four teams win out, yeah, I think so. Well, Georgia and LSU can't both win out. Because they would meet in the SEC championship game. But if Georgia beats LSU, now you've got 12-1 Georgia SEC champion, 12-1 LSU who beat Alabama. Now Alabama's no better than the third-ranked team in the SEC. You still have undefeated Ohio State, undefeated Clemson. Those are your four. But Georgia would have to win the SEC.
We saw Minnesota catapult nine spots, and now into the top 10. Is there a situation where the Golden Gophers could crash?
Yes, 13-0. You know, they're at Iowa this week. They still have to play at Northwestern. They have Wisconsin at home, and then a Big Ten championship game likely against Ohio State. Win all of those games and Minnesota's a playoff team.
Does it matter that Clemson's schedule is?
It does if they lose. They're going to make the playoff at 13-0. See, an undefeated major conference team is going to the playoff. So Baylor can be 13th. Minnesota could have been 17th last weekend. You know, where you start doesn't matter. If you're in a major conference and you're undefeated, you're going to the playoffs unless we have 5 of those teams, which we can't this year because the Pac-12 is already out of that. So it doesn't really matter where you start. It really matters what's ahead of you and how much control do you have over getting to that 4. And, you know, Alabama's 5, and they're ahead of at least 2 teams that could jump them by going 13-0.
So, Jerry, how do you have time for football and now basketball as well?
It's November's a fun month. Trying to juggle 2 sports. Although we had a lot of fun in basketball last night, didn't we?
Yes.
Still beating Kentucky. Oh, my gosh. Who saw that coming?
That so cool.
But, yeah, so it's it makes every morning a little more work, but that's fine. It's good to have two sports going at once.
All right, so since you're awake and you're with us, I'll ask you 2 quick questions that we're asking people on the show right now. In light of, and I know you're a huge baseball fan, a Cubs fan, in light of what we've heard, the allegations about the Astros coming from Mike Fiers, do you believe that stealing signs using some form of covert technology is common in Major League Baseball?
Common. No, I don't think it's common. Not using technology. I mean, I think they're always trying to steal signs.
Sure.
I don't think we did that
when I played softball, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think using technology is not common and probably shouldn't be allowed. I'm sure it's not allowed.
No, it's definitely across the line is what baseball says. Okay, now here's the other one. And I know, well, I don't know where you are right now, but I know that you live not that far from Chicago. And so you're typically dealing with snow and cold temps, but we're asking people to commiserate if in their area they're dealing with the Arctic blast. So what's your real feel temp right now?
Oh, gosh. It's a single-digit temp. And I'm in Indianapolis. It's
cold there.
Still single digits. Yeah, it's still a single-digit real field temperature in Indianapolis, and I'm heading back home for a little bit today, and it's not going to be any better.
I did hear, Ashley, when I was on my way to work, CBS News was kind of dotting the country with the cold temps, and they highlighted Indianapolis because even without the wind chills, it was 10 degrees, and that was like 3 or 4 hours ago.
Yeah,
so
we were out last night. It said 11 on the car.
Oh, that's balmy. No,
yep, I'm working on my tan.
Well, Jerry Palm, you can find him on Twitter, as always, J.P. Palm, CBS. He's busy not only looking at rankings and bowl games for college football, but also basketball now and predicting the field of 68 before we ever even hit 2020, I guess, at the change. And so we appreciate a couple of minutes. And if you don't mind my saying so, congratulations on getting engaged.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm very excited.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
1 minute to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw in the end zone. Touchdown. Made a guy miss. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown. Southern Salting into the end zone. Touchdown.
The people have spoken, and one score stands above the rest. Here is your TD of the week.
Jackson sets in the pistol. Sends his tight end Nick Boyle to the slot right. Jackson will keep it on the read option. He's got it at the 40, 35, spins at the 30. He's got room, 20. Lamar Jackson, 10, 5, touchdown Ravens! Lamar Jackson with the spin, the sprint, and the score!
Working hard, you know, I'm a quarterback at the end of the day, and I want to prove that each and every day I go out there and practice. I treat it like it's a game. If I incomplete a pass in practice, I'm ticked off. In the game, I'm trying to pinpoint everything. You know, dot my guys, let them get yards after the catch, because when the ball's in their hand, they can make something happen.
The unmistakable voice of one Lamar Jackson. I think his voice is as recognizable as, say, a Patrick Mahomes, to be sure. And what I keep hearing about him, even at 22 years old, not only is he really smart with a high football IQ, but also extremely coachable and is soaking up everything and wants to learn and wants to be the best quarterback that he can. And so far, so good for the Baltimore Ravens, who are on top of the AFC North. And of course, coming up this weekend, big game against the Houston Texans and yet another quarterback who's a dual threat in Deshaun Watson, though, of course, they do not play each other. I feel like sometimes I have to clarify that, since many of you are like, oh, this QB versus this QB. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Cleveland was stuffing the ballot boxes. I saw this on Tuesday morning before I went to bed. One of our local talk show hosts in Cleveland, who does a show here on the weekends on CBS Sports Radio, Ken Carmen, he retweeted the poll, and all of a sudden, the Rashard Higgins, Baker Mayfield touchdown at the end of the Cleveland win over Buffalo got a massive surge. But in the final voting, the final tallies, Lamar Jackson edging out Cleveland. So Jerry Sandusky with the call on the Ravens radio network, and something tells me he is going to be calling more of those fantastic, dazzling, agile, speedy runs by Lamar Jackson. It's been some cool experience to watch him in what is now a year of starting for Baltimore. Now it's 7-2 against the 6-3 Texans. All right, you can find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page for all of our polls. You have access to them there. And the current one is about whether or not you think it's common for teams in Major League Baseball to steal signs using covert technology. I am blown away by the number of you who believe that it's absolutely common and that many teams are doing it. So that check out that poll. I always try to go back and answer some of your questions for Ask Amy Anything that did not get posed on the show. So check out Facebook and Twitter for that. And a lot of you sending us screenshots of how cold you are, where you are, and how cold you are. And in East Tennessee, Jonesboro, Keith says it's 16 degrees. David in Houston, 30 degrees. Salida, Ohio, Matt says 2 degrees, or he shows us the screen grab of his dashboard, 2 degrees. My goodness. Seth, 33 in Virginia Beach. Oh, my goodness, that's positively balming. 20 degrees in Geneva, Ohio, according to Matt, with a wind chill of 10. 13 degrees in Rockford, Illinois, a little over an hour west of Chicago. And then Tony says it feels like 9 in Asheville, North Carolina. I'm heading there to work this morning. I don't freeze solid. Also, for the guy who sent me a tweet about how it's 58 in Vegas, we don't want to hear it. So you can find us again on Twitter or Facebook and send us those posts and those screenshots, because misery loves company. If you're miserable in the cold, it should make you feel better that so many other people are cold as well. I will assume, though I guess I shouldn't. You know what happens when you assume, that the workout the NFL is facilitating for Colin Kaepernick on Saturday in Atlanta will not be outdoors, just in case it's still cold in Atlanta. Regardless of where it takes place, two things will happen. Number one, he will work out, throw a football, run through drills, footwork, that type of thing, to try to demonstrate to teams that he's still in shape. Number two, he will answer questions. He's going to interview whatever NFL personnel want to talk to him. He's going to sit down and answer their questions. And as I wrote and recorded in my CBS Sports Minute, I'm pretty confident those will be probing personal questions. They're not going to be just football. Will he have to answer questions about his desire to play football? Absolutely. Will he have to answer questions about his willingness to serve as a backup, even if it means right now he can't compete for a starting job? Absolutely. Will there be questions about what kind of contract he's willing to take? Yep. I'm pretty confident, even though I'm not the one answering the questions. Those are the answers that NFL teams want. I absolutely, and this is if I were an NFL GM or a scout, I would ask, are you planning to stand or kneel for the national anthem? Teams will need to know. If they bring him on board, there will be a firestorm of ensuing news coverage. And not just in the football world. Colin Kaepernick has become somewhat of a household name, or he was. I don't know that he is at this point now, but my mom could tell you who he is. His decision to kneel during the national anthem and the movement that it turned into, the controversy that followed, went all the way up to the White House. And people outside of the football world, news networks, they covered it as well. Now, it's not still a major story. The NFL has changed its policy a little bit, tweaked it so that players can stay in the locker rooms if that's what they want to do during the anthem. But most of that attention has died down because it's not happening in the NFL anymore. Even Michael Bennett said his teammates in Dallas asked him to stand, to come out of the locker room and stand for the anthem, and he agreed. So no doubt teams are going to ask, what's your plan? Are you planning to stand? Are you planning to kneel? And we would be kidding ourselves if we didn't think that answer that Colin gives to that question will be a factor in whether or not a team is interested in bringing him on board. And that's okay. Owners write the checks. Owners pay the bills. If they want their employees to stand for the national anthem or to not be a major distraction, then they have that right. Whether you agree or disagree with it, I don't even think that's a huge story anymore. Again, the NFL has made a provision where a player doesn't even have to be out there if he doesn't want to. But all these questions will be asked, and Kaepernick has to be willing to answer them. But since he hasn't played in the NFL since the end of the 2016 season, since he and his reps have made it very clear he's desperate to get back into football, they continue to call around. They've asked for workouts. They've asked for opportunities for him to show up and to do a private workout with teams that need quarterbacks. The NFL is stepping in and coordinating because of the number of teams that have used multiple QBs. We're now past half. 18 of 32 NFL teams have either made quarterback changes because they don't like how their starter was playing or because of injuries they've been forced to. Thankfully, the majority of the injured quarterbacks are not out the rest of the way, but we certainly have had some serious injuries that teams had to navigate. And in the case of Pittsburgh, in the case of now Denver, they're dealing with QBs on IR. So could this be the window for Colin Kaepernick? It might be. I just know that his willingness to answer questions is a big step. We already know what NFL teams do at the combine and the type of invasive, intimate questions they ask draft picks. And while there's more of a history with Colin Kaepernick, and you'll have teams that show up in Atlanta with personnel who maybe have even talked to him before or have been on teams where he was a player before, going back to San Francisco, they're going to need to know exactly what they're getting into. I said this earlier because a lot of you responded when I asked the rhetorical question on Twitter, could this be the window for Colin to get back in? And I don't even know if it works, right? Because how many athletes can get back into their sport at a level in which they can compete after 3 years away? It's one thing to work out. It's entirely another to be taking hits and to be staying mentally ready to play a sport at a high level. And he's 32. Now, that's not old for quarterbacks, but there are a lot of young quarterbacks who've now emerged on the scene in the league. Some of you said to me, you know, it's not worth the headache or the distraction or who knows if he even wants to play football. And those are valid questions, and only Colin Kaepernick can answer them. And so this is an opportunity now for him to prove to teams that he's worth the extra attention. I won't call it a risk so much. But that's coming up Saturday. That's not what I wrote about in my weekly column, even though the news had broken while I was writing. No, I wrote about the high-impact trades, as well as a few that turned into duds. But in 2019, a lot of trades in the NFL that are making a major impact. And so that's what I wrote about. Thanks for checking it out on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Stay warm. We'll talk to you tonight after hours, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.